So I see your second case is CLL, and that's I'm really glad to hear that because I've been curious about that, not just about venetoclax, but the whole issue of tumor lysis with CLL. So why don't we go through this one?
So the second case is a 60-year-old patient with previously untreated chronic lymphocytic leukemia, has trisomy 12 and a mutated V gene, RAI stage 3 disease, palpable lymph nodes at 3 to 4 centimeters, has a white blood cell count of 120,000, is mildly anemic at 10.5, and has a platelet count of 115. This patient has a uric acid level of 5.2, an LDH of 352, serum creatinine is normal at 1, creatinine clearance is 82, and potassium is normal at 4.1, phosphorus is normal at 4.2, and calcium is normal at 9.3. So this patient is going on initial treatment. The initial treatment in this case is with chemoimmunotherapy, which has historically been the standard of care. Standard of care is changing, but at the time, this patient received fludarabine, cyclophosphamide, and rituximab as his initial therapy. Given the high white blood cell count and measurable lymph nodes, there is some level of risk, although it's low, of tumor lysis syndrome. So in these cases, we will typically give patients prophylactic treatment with allopurinol before we start the chemotherapy, and we will encourage them to have adequate oral fluid intake, and we'll monitor their electrolytes. Occasionally, I'll have a patient come back into the clinic on the second day of therapy to check their electrolytes to make sure they're not having issues with tumor lysis. But there is a low risk for tumor lysis in such cases of CLL, who have a significant amount of disease, who are going on chemoimmunotherapy. And typically, we manage those patients with oral hydration and with prophylactic allopurinol.
And what specifically do you do about repeat blood work?
So if I'm concerned about tumor lysis, I will. So fludarabine, cyclophosphamide, and rituximab is a 3-day regimen. So I have checked patients' electrolyte values on the second day of treatment if I'm concerned about tumor lysis syndrome. In this case, I probably would not necessarily recheck the electrolytes. But if I were concerned or if there was any evidence of spontaneous tumor lysis before the patient started treatment, then certainly I would recheck their electrolytes on day 2 and perhaps day 3 of treatment.
We had a few cases that really last year that sort of sparked my interest that were presented at a conference we did. One was a patient who actually got tumor lysis syndrome and actually had temporary dialysis, not that much different from this, other than the fact the patient was older, I think about 75. I think the white count was higher. And as I said, actually, it was Jonathan Friedberg's case, believe it or not. He presented it to me on a program we did. And then we had another case where a doc in the community had a very similar patient. Previously healthy, 65-year-old woman, and the doc used aggressive IV hydration, and the patient went into heart failure. Was very upset about it too, and then she was fine.